This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Come on, next guest, who is Zoe Carno, author of Bonafil Go or Bust. Welcome, Zoe.
Good afternoon, girls. How are we today?
Can't wait to hear about your adventures. I'm so excited.
I've got your fantastically designed book in front of me, and I'm just going to read a couple of sentences to kick us off. So it starts with, "In life we all have dreams, but do we ever attempt to make them happen? A true story with a difference. She had nothing, no money, no time, no motorbike, no experience for such a mammoth trip, but she had a clear vision." So you travelled across the US on a motorbike. So can you kick it off with what made you first come up with the idea? What drove you to do it?
I absolutely will. In fact, let's kick that engine into go. I'd lived overseas for a large part of my life, or at least my professional life, in events and exhibitions. I'd lived in America, in New York, and in Boston for about 4 years. And I was a frustrated little individual, having flown over the US, seeing these beautiful parts of the country, but never having actually been able to sort of get down and visit it. And I am a bit of an explorer. I've done other adventures in my life, such as going across the Andes on Peruvian Paso Fino horses, going down the Amazon rainforest and climbing the...
As you do, obviously, Sean.
Sometimes do, yeah. And I'd sort of backtrack a bit out of the events life, and I was doing more of a sort of a downscale office management job, and I was looking to really get a dream going, and I had this inspiration one day to try and do this trip across the USA on what I named it as On the Roads Less Traveled, and the inspiration came from my father, who was the most incredible man, who had his own adventures, and he used to educate us primarily reading the National Geographics and looking at the maps. Yeah. So the inspiration came primarily from him, and the trip was a long, hard, grueling 5-year plan to find the money, to find the bike, which is a story in itself, and then obviously to have not so many palpitations and asking the boss for time off.
And you drove across on a Triumph Bonneville. Why did you choose that particular motorbike?
That's a really good question. In fact, that's a question that a lot of people ask me. I love the design, and I'm not a biker chick. And let's just get that straight. I'm a boho person who's travelled all over the world, who likes style, who likes good food. I'm into fashion, but also somebody who likes style. And the Bonneville, the Triumph, even if you're not a biker, even if you're not somebody who gets under the engines of bikes, aesthetically it is a beautiful bike. And the idea was it was going to be a British girl on a British bike. That's all it was.
Because I know that you actually, in the end, ended up using a bike that was in the States already, didn't you, rather than getting yours? So how did you sort of logistically, how was that, were you going to ship yours over? Did it cost too much? Because I'm intrigued by that as well, actually.
Absolutely. And in fact, it's all a question, I think, in any sort of distance or lengthy trip. You know, it's a question as to trying to juggle the budgets. And as I had started off on this project and adventure without any money, I was obviously well aware of the fact that if I was to ship my bike over, you wouldn't be shipping it by plane, but you'd be shipping it on the boats. That would already take 2 months. That would be 2 months without a bike over here, which is my only form of transport. I don't have a car. I only have one bike. So that was a big problem. And also the fact that although I went to a bike mechanics school near Wimbledon just to get a few of the basics together, my concern was that if the bike broke down, I'd then be without a vehicle. So it was really to try and find ideally some form of bike, a Triumph over in the US.
And what I found amazing when I listened to your radio interview in the States that was that you did this on your own, because I just thought there'd be a team of people, you know, like...
I've got a funny story. A lot of the adventures and a lot of the expeditions I've done around the world have been either on my own or with just very small teams of people. I think that in that way you're a lot more self-sufficient. You can come and go and start the day as you want. But this was quite an interesting, the story I wanted just to tell you, which was one of the hundreds of stories about travelling on my own, was the very first day in Boston when I came to pick up the bike. the guys, it was a Harley dealership, and the guy who had given me the bike had shipped it over in a container from LA, which would normally have contained about, I think, 28 Harleys. The guys at the dealership in Boston opened it up, and they saw this one little Triumph Bonneville with a little message literally stuck on its handlebars saying, please keep for the person who's going to pick it up and ride it back. And so obviously the morning I arrived, they thought this was going to be, I guess, a big, bulky, hunky man. And it was Angel. Me, little old me. And the guy said, well, who else is going with you? Are you the pillion? Are you the one riding on the back? I said, no, it's just me. And so that was the start of the journey. That was the start of the story, because that was the first, but not at least the last time that people's eyes opened and their mouths opened and they were almost speechless.
I know that obviously for me, I was thinking about from the safety point of view, and I know that, correct me if I'm wrong, but at some point you were involved in like drive-by shooting, is that right?
No, I shouldn't be laughing away too much here.
I shouldn't be laughing, but I was thinking, really? Can't you just sit and watch Coronation Street like the rest of us, though?
That's probably worse.
It is, actually, I think. Yeah. Well, they need a good, strong storyline, don't they? Bring Zoe in. That was a story that happened in Memphis, and I'm not going to give too much away, because if people want to pick it up, that's going to obviously be less of a surprise for when they read it. But so that was a bit of a scary moment. But the funny thing was, I was with a very, very good friend who I'd used to work with in Boston, and that evening she was driving the car, and we didn't actually realize that it had been a drive-by shooting, but a little while afterwards we actually found out that it had been, and we have the proof, as we say, in the car.
I mean, in terms of the safety thing, one thing I was saying to you before we came on air was that my husband's got a bike and he loves doing all this sort of touring stuff, and I'd love to go with him, but I'm always terrified that I'm going to fall off and he's not going to notice 3 hours later.
Don't you just sort of, I don't know, do you hold him round the waist? Or?
No, I hold him behind, because I just find it's not secure holding him round the waist. So any tips on that sort of thing? How can I stay awake?
How can you stay awake? He needs to either, keep ticking you on the sides. Or I don't actually,
keep
funny, I don't like to have pillion. Pillion is person, obviously, is on the back of you. I don't feel too safe having the responsibility of having somebody on the back of your bike. I've been a pillion myself. I didn't enjoy it. You've got to stay totally still, and particularly if you go around the bends, and it's quite a scary experience. And I agree. I think the longest pillion trip I did was from London up to the Lake District, and it was hell. It was on a rainy day going up, I think, is it the M6 that you go up part of? And it was horrible. And I certainly didn't go to sleep, but I was frozen.
The answer is we'll have to learn to ride bikes, Jane.
I think I'll just buy a push bike. It sounds easy.
Or the sidecar like Holly on the buses.
Just, yeah, I'll just admire Zoe's Bonneville. Now, Zoe, I think you'd like to read a passage out of your book, would that be okay?
Thank you very much, girls. It really starts from when I just left Nashville, and this was pretty much halfway through the trip, and it was probably going, I think it was day 10 of the trip. And you have to remember, just as a little bit of a back scene here, this was the hottest summer in record in America since the record started at the beginning of the 1900s. And so I've just left Nashville, and here we go. Suddenly, out of nowhere, in that silent heat, I hear a rumbling, heavy-duty sound vibrating the ground beneath me. The sun is hitting hard directly in front of me. I see nothing. Blinded by the light, I raise my hands over my squinting, tired eyes to figure out what the hell I could be possibly hearing. A mirage appears, coming closer through the haze. In drives a massive old black rat bike with a cool boho traveller and what looks like all his worldly possessions tied and stacked onto it. Little old me'd never seen anything like this before. In the breathless heat, he comes to a shuddering halt next to me. The traveller casually gets off, sits in the precious shade, and silently takes something from his weather-beaten jacket to eat. He's also escaping the oppressive heat. Unless you know it, rat bikes, there's really no problems involved. You just get what you see. Only the minimum done to keep them good to ride. No time-consuming cleaning, washing, polishing, or adding shining bits that do nothing. Rats and other bikes could come from different planets. Here was a story, as everything was not quite what it seemed. an old chopper assembled to survive with what looked like all the living to exist paraphernalia tied onto it. But strangely, on each side were attached some of the most expensive metal side boxes, which would cost a fortune back home and which looked almost shiny new. All this just didn't add up. I notice him looking over at me. I'm strangely fascinated and drawn to wanting to know more. This is what travelling on the open road does to you. It opens up your curiosity and makes you a braver person. So I pluck up the courage, walk over, and sit quietly next to him. What I'm about to hear will stick with me for the rest of the trip.
That sounds like something out of Bourne Identity.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. Oh, wow. Are those images, obviously, are they really vivid still?
Absolutely. And in fact, what is interesting is I am now, obviously, because I've got the book, but I wasn't a writer before this trip. And in fact, the trip was never intended to write a book. And I think that whole story of what happened along the road and the blog I had and the Twitters I had, followers I had, when I got back, people said, you've really got a story there. And so, as you said, we're using the word pictures. I took over 1,000 pictures on Twitter, and this book, if nothing else, like my mother said to me, she said, even if it doesn't get published, you know, it'll just be a memory for you and for us. And I totally agree. Just reading that excerpt has brought everything back to life.
Do you think, with the benefit of hindsight, which is a wonderful thing, that on that particular trip, there's anything you would have done differently, Zoe?
Again, it's another really good question, and a question that I'm quite often asked. The publisher definitely liked my naivety, and I think that's probably why he found there was a little bit of humour to it, particularly at the beginning. I had obviously tried to do a little bit of research. I mean, I'd never really done much more than 100 miles before this trip, so it was something totally new to me. I think probably primarily I didn't realise the extent of the extreme weather patterns and the way that the temperature would be rising and dropping literally from 1 mile to the next, from going up incredible large mountain passes back down into the valleys, where you would have to at one moment, you know, be wrapped up and the next moment you'd have to be stripping off. So I think the research was primarily probably something I didn't do enough of on actually assessing the topography, but also the weather patterns. But then again, you know, modern day technology is everything handed in front of you, and then there's no surprise.
Certainly, yeah. What's the next exciting adventure that's happening for Zoe?
Lots of things are happening. I've just come back from the London XL motorbike show with Triumph, who were kind enough. I've literally just come back from the US with them on a trip which we did through Alabama, Georgia and Florida. So that's another story which will probably go into a small portfolio of stories which I'm looking to do for shorter trips that more people can do. And I'm hoping to get back to the US in the summer.
Fantastic. Was it just a thought that just came to me? Was it quite scary doing this on your own, or you're doing the route? Did you get lost? Or
I think there are lots of levels of scariness, and I think the most important thing for me when I try and explain this to people is scary. What kind of scariness have you got? I think the first key issue is: are you scared of being on your own? And there's a lot of people that cannot conceive traveling or doing something on their own. I'm a very independent adventurer and explorer, and spending time on my own, I'm not lonely, I'm just alone. So I can always be meeting up with people, and sometimes that exuberance and that affinity to oneself is very strengthening. So I would say that you've got to really know if you can first of all do something on your own.
Sure. And for the benefit of our listeners, Zoe, if they were thinking about doing something similar, what pearls of wisdom would you offer them?
I would say, if you really are gung-ho to do something, and I think it's like anything that you want to do in life to achieve, is stay focused, believe in yourself, and believe and tell yourself that whatever anybody else says, it's possible.
Great. So if people want to follow you on Twitter, do you know your Twitter?
I have. My Great. Twitter is @, and I will spell it to you, it's @BijouLatina. That's @BijouLatina. LATINA. And my blog is www.bonnevilleadventure.blogspot.co.uk.
Thank you very much. So that was Zoe Kano, who wrote Bonneville Go or Bust.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.